Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Log by Larry Wyman and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. Most of us do a certain amount of entertaining in our own homes, usually, we hope, with success. But what passes for entertainment in the wardroom of HMS Troutbridge is perhaps a little on the simple side.
A card for you, a card for me. One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me. And the last card, card number 52, for you. Right, let us begin.
Now, hang on, Padre. It wasn't your deal. You must have dealt last hand because you won.
Mr. Phillips. Mr. Phillips, I do trust that you are not suggesting that through some manual dexterity, when I deal the cards one onto you, then one onto me, then one onto you, and so on, I've been working a right old fiddle.
Oh, no, of course not, Padre.
There, tell him. There, then. My shout, I believe. Have you got Miss Codd, the fishmonger? The fishmonger's excellent daughter?
Miss Codd, No, I'm afraid not. No, she's not at home.
Come, Mr. Phillips. Look again. I think you will find the delectable Miss Codd there somewhere. Remember, I don't.
Oh, sorry, Parson. You're absolutely right. She's tucked in beside Mr. Squirt, the farm.
Mr. Phillips!
No, not to worry, Padre. They've got a chaperone. Mrs. Bin, the dustman's wife, is right in beside
them. I'm relieved to hear it. I realize that it is only a game of happy families, but I do feel you should sort out your cards with more decorum. I mean, allowing this card to be caught in juxtaposition with Mr. Squirt just will not do. Will not do.
That's how you're getting along.
Oh, really?
I thought you were supposed to be helping to tidy up the wardrobe, not playing cards.
Well, we started tidying up, sir, and we found this pack of happy families under a cushion.
And the last of the next, we succumbed to the temptation of a modest gamble.
A gamble? You, Padre?
Only for a match six per point, of course.
Oh, I see. Just as well. I'm down to my last one. He's got a blooming timber yard.
No, Mr. Phillips. Language. Just because you're losing, there's no need to blow your top.
Blow your top!
Sorry, Padre.
Not at all. Now then, myself again, I believe. Have you got Master Dill, the doctor's son?
Just a minute. This is ridiculous.
No, sir, please. It'll be my turn in a minute. I've got a feeling I'm going to win this time.
Poppy, you're not going to get a turn. You can't possibly win.
Eh? Why not?
Two people can't play happy families. Whatever the Padre hasn't got, you must have. All he's got to do is to keep asking for them. He's bound to win. Otis and Dust. And indubitably, look, number one, now you've been and gored and blown the gaff.
Yes, he has. I was right. I have been fiddled. Give me my matches back.
Come now, Mr. Phillips. It was hardly a fiddle. You could have done the same to me when you got first shelf.
But I never did get first shelf.
Luck of the game, old chap. Luck of the game.
Oh, for goodness sake, stop squabbling, you two, and get on with tidying the wardrobe.
Number one, without wishing to be an old nosy Parker, might one inquire why you have so suddenly become so desperately health-proud?
We're expecting a guest, Parker, and a lady guest at that. Second Officer Jean McLuffy is on board. Commander Bell's showing her over the ship, so she's bound to come in here for a coffee or something.
Well, you can serve with the coffee. Thanks, Leslie. Deals with the all something.
Mr. Phillips, you appear to have overlooked the fact that Mr. Prim the Padre is the tone.
Whoops, beg your pardon, Padre.
Oh, do pack it in, you two, and get this place tidied up. She'll be here in a minute. You must let her see the wardroom at its best. You know how they notice things.
That must be her.
Quick, Mr. Phillips, bung all that stuff out of sight.
Where?
Well, anywhere, just hide it. Excuse me, gentle. But was one of you expecting a nautical bird?
Expecting a what?
Do you mean Wren's second officer, McDougie?
The very one, sir. And she's brought here, sir.
But on her own? She should be with Commander Bell. He's supposed to be escorting her over the ship.
Oh, he was, sir. But she let go of his arm for 2 seconds and he got lost. Here this way, madam. You can come in. They're decent.
That means...
How do you do, gentlemen? I do hope I'm not disturbing you.
Oh, but you are. And it's lovely.
Yes, well, seeing as how I appear to be standing here by the bar, you would care for a little something.
Yes, please. Chief, we'd like a pot of tea.
A pot of tea? Well, we're waiting for the kettle to boil. How about a pot of...
No.
Or a nip of...
No.
Or a pint of...
No.
No?
No.
That's a blow. No good.
You might as well give it up, Chief. Besides, I've got a better idea what to do while the kettle is boiling.
If you were about to suggest you could show me around your cabin, I've seen charts before, and I've already heard about your navigation lessons.
Who taught?
Practically every Wren in my division.
If I may be allowed to change the subject in the nickel of the time, may we have the opinion of our lady guest as to what she thinks of our humble bachelor abode?
Oh, well, it's very nice, and very nice indeed. It's sort of casually informal. Then, of course, you do need a new carpet. And those cushions at the potholes have seen better days. And then when you change the carpet to the cushions, you'll have to have new loose covers for the chairs. And that'll need new lampshades as well, of course. But you'll have to take them down anyway before you clean the paintwork. Then it'll look quite nice. It just needs a woman's heart.
I think it's just habit.
Excuse me, I couldn't help overhearing what you said, madam. Oh, you're absolutely right. The old place wants tardy enough.
Wait, what's the matter with you? What are you doing?
Tardy enough.
Oh, what?
Well, I've made it stop, sir. There were a lot of open bottles back here, so I've tidied them up.
Open bottles? They were half full.
Oh, no, sir. No, they were half empty. So I've tidied them up. And now they're all completely empty. Of course, check them if you like.
I doubt if that'll be necessary. We all know your swallow.
Who's that ever so tidy now?
Well, maybe, but you aren't. Put yourself together.
Before. Which bit of me fell apart?
All of you.
I'm sorry about this, Miss McLuthie.
Why are you calling me Miss McLuthie? Hey, what are you apologizing for? See, you haven't done anything. No, I've been watching. You've been as good as gold. Not a word out of place, Mr. Mark. I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much. I'll see you in the morning.
Why wait until the morning? Here I am. Take a good look at me now, sir. No exercise.
I have a feeling there may well be in the morning.
Hello? Oh, here, look, the bird's in here. Come on, darling, it's ever dull. How's your cha-cha-cha, madam?
Chief, I really do feel I should have a little word with you in Friday.
The brother? What for? Have you had one too many? Hey, here, my partner. Go on, lean on me. I'll see you all right. Chopping on number one, sir. I'll just see my friend home, and I'll be back to finish charging up the rest of the boxes in a minute. Don't wait up.
Actually, we really do apologize about that, Jean. I've never known the chief to go like that in such a short time.
He's going to pay for it in the morning.
Don't be too hard on him, sir. I've just had a look to see what he drank. He finished off that bottle of homemade Oh Nasty Captain Proby's wife sold us last time she was aboard.
That's how it happened, Captain Hobbes. I can only apologize, me jars again, sir. From the moment I popped behind the wardroom bar to tidy up those half-empty bottles, I don't remember a thing.
Don't you, Chief?
Well, I do. Perhaps I can refresh your memory.
What time did he ring you up, sir?
2:30.
The first time?
No. Oh. That'd be before he leant on our siren and alerted every ship in Portsmouth Harbor. Mr. Morrison, please, you're not helping.
Yes, but it must have been after he turned our searchlight on the Admiral's bedroom window and shouted, "Wakey, wakey, sailor, the sun's scorching your eyeballs, mate."
Oh, blimey. I don't remember that at all.
Take it from me, the Admiral done. Just as I remember my 3 telephone calls. At 2:30 this morning, you wanted compassionate leave to take the Padre to Canterbury for a bell-ringing party.
Oh, dear.
Then at 3:00, you told my wife a joke she did not appreciate, and followed it with a spirited rendering of "What Shall We Do with a Drunken Sailor?"
I've heard that. He does it jolly well.
And finally, at 3:15, you spoke to me again. You wanted to know if my bird had got any more of that rock gut she made. And if she had, shoved the old trout out of bed as you'd be round for a bottle in 10 minutes. Which you were.
He got the jackpot, didn't he?
Oh, he did indeed, Mr. Murray. And now he's going to collect his winnings. Well, Chief.
But before you drop on me from a great height, please remember the words of that great nautical poet who once said on my behalf, "Frobisher all ends and benders, Nelson, Harvey and Blake, all drop their ration of clangers, so scrub around mine for Drake's sake."
Very moving. And which great nautical poet wrote that?
I just did, sir. With my head, it wasn't easy.
No, I don't imagine it was. And it is for that reason that I am going to let you off with a caution this time, Chief. I happen to know at first hand the after effects of my dear wife Ramona's homemade wine. Believe you me, Pertwee, if you've had half a bottle, you haven't even begun to feel the full agony of it yet. And once you do, that will be punishment enough.
He's warped. That's what he is. He's warped.
Right, gentlemen. Is there anything else you want to see me about while you're here?
Oh, well, there is one other little thing, sir. We wondered if you could allocate some money from the flotilla refurbishing fund.
Allocate you some money? What do you want this money for?
Well, it was all Second Officer McClutie's idea, actually, sir.
Second Officer McClutie?
Yes, sir. She saw our wardroom yesterday.
And from what she said about it,
we thought...
And she thought
that we think we've got...
Yeah, and she thinks we've got a legitimate claim
on the flotilla refurbishing
fund,
sir.
Please.
Thank you.
Really? And what did you thought she think? I mean, what she thinks you thought you... What do you want this money for?
Well, according to her, sir, new carpet, new curtains, new lampshades, new loose covers...
And a wash down all round.
I see. Well, having seen your wardroom recently, I suppose Second Officer McClutie could be right. Now, how much money do you or she think you'll need?
Oh, 400 quid.
No.
Oh, 300.
No.
Oh, you'd rather hard bargain, sir. 200 and not a penny less.
No. 100 and not a penny more.
Done. Oh, well, if that's all, gents, I'd better get on with the measuring up and ordering.
Just a minute. How did you get into this conversation?
Yes, mind your own business, Percy.
Look, if you've only got 100 knicker to spend on all that lot, sir, it'll have to be my business. You'll have to buy bargain prices, and you need Pertwee to drive an hard bargain.
No, do be quiet, my love. You can have £100 to spend on your wardrobe, and I warn you. After you've spent it, I shall want to know and see exactly how you've spent it. down to the last hay.
Oh, you will, sir. You will.
Yes, sir. As soon as it's all finished, you can come and see for yourself. We'll throw a wardroom warming party.
Oh, will we?
Rather.
Oh, splendid idea.
You could even have a cabaret during the evening.
Cabaret?
Yes, Chief. You could give us your rendition of What Shall We Do with a Drunken Sailor.
Abel Seaman Johnson scrubbing down the paint. And if you think he's happy, then you're wrong, he ain't. Because all the soapy water is sloshing round the deck. But what's made him not happy is it's dripping down his neck. Abel Seaman Johnson doesn't like the chief. And when he gets his boots on, he'll kick him in the teeth. For Abel Seaman...
I'll build up your barrel-shaped barricade. Now, look, this is the officer's wardroom, not the public bar at the Pottle's Head.
Well, I don't like scrubbing down paint.
Look, you're not required to grin gigantic. Just get on with it.
I can't.
Why not?
I've finished.
Look, you haven't finished. Now, stop arguing and mop up those puddles. Well, Uncle Ebenezer will be here in a minute with all the new gear from his emporium. But we've got to get it all fixed up in time for the party tonight.
What's he bringing then?
Well, the lot. Carpet, curtains, loose covers, lampshades. Everything for the ideal home from home.
Yeah, that must have cost a bob or two.
Yeah, it did, Johnson, did.
How much?
£13.60 a night.
What? He gave you 100 quid to spend.
Yes, yes, and it has been. Yeah, well, as I appear to have a small amount left over...
Small amount? That's over £86.
Don't quibble. As I had this modest sum left over, I purchased one or two little Kanika Connects for the CPO's mess.
What a
Johnsy
boy. You in there? I've got the gear.
Nothing, you old fool, you're late.
Oh, my fault. I got unavoidably delayed.
Oh, hell.
Well, the lorry I was going to hijack for your stuff got hijacked before I could nick it.
What?
It's true. Some other thieving hand have pinched a lock. You can't trust nobody these days, can you?
Look, never mind that. What am I going to do? Look, this wardroom is supposed to have all brand new stuff in it for tonight's party.
All right, don't panic. I'll fix you up all right with some stuff out of my own shop. Right. We'll have the carpet in first. Here, give us a hand, Fatty.
Not so much of the personal remarks, if you don't mind, dribble chops.
Don't you argue with me. Right, from me to you. Back a bit. Down your end. Right, drop it. There you are, Johnsy boy. How's that for a carpet? Isn't she a beauty?
No! It's a joke. It's got to be a joke. We can't put that thing down. Look at it. It's got footpaths worn right across it.
Yeah. Well, it would have, wouldn't it? I mean, it came out of the foyer of the Bijou Cinema when they pulled it down 10 years ago. Still, what's left of it's good quality.
Good quality? It's completely worn out.
Only on one side. The backing's as good as new. Laid upside down, it looked lovely.
What's your trouble, Johnson?
I've just seen the curtains.
Huh?
Sweet, aren't they? They should be. They're old sugar sacks.
That's right. They're the best sacks you can get. And here's your lampshade.
Lampshade? Look, they're old cocoa tins.
I know, but they're hand-painted.
Here, put the lids back on. You could have concealed lighting, couldn't you?
And here are the loose covers.
Eh? Oh, well, at least they don't look too bad. Where'd you get them?
Ah, you was lucky with them, Johnsy. They're fairly new. I thought I was going to have to let you down with them covers because I hadn't got any in stock.
And?
Well, fortunately, as I was driving through the dockyard, I saw this lot on the chairs in somebody's office, and they happened to fall off into me van as I went past.
You thieving old goat.
No, well, I'm off. I want to get out of here before that lot's missed. Goodbye.
He's potty. I'll get 10 years for this.
More like 20, I'd say, with no time off for good behaviour.
This way, friend, Second Officer McCluty.
The wardroom is just here.
Good grief, the face in darkness.
Oh, who goes there?
I
Beg your pardon, who is that?
I've no idea, sir. It's too dark for me to see.
Mr. Phillips.
Oh, it's you, Captain Pottybird. Peekaboo.
What's the idea of the blackout, Mr. Phillips?
Oh, it's not a blackout, it's concealed lighting.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, isn't it, though? Well, not to worry, I found you at last. Give us a pink gin, barman.
Pardon?
Oh, hello, Pogey. What are you doing serving behind the bar? Trying to make an extra bob or two?
I am not serving.
You've got your wife working with you, too, have you? Why, George, she looks younger in this life. You should keep her in it all the time, Pogey.
Edmund, I am not the barman.
Aren't you? Well, what have you got a bottle in your hand for?
What? Oh, this. It's a present for the wardroom warming party for my dear wife. It's a bottle of her homemade wine.
Oh, Lord. Oh, well, it'll have to do. Give me that bottle and I'll find a corkscrew and glass from somewhere. Out of my way, some of you. Admiral coming through.
Oh, good evening, Captain Povey. Good evening, Mrs. Povey.
And I'm not Mrs. Povey either, but after this evening, I think there may be a lot of talk.
Oh, I do hope not. No, don't worry, sir. I'll keep quiet about it. Which way did the Admiral go?
Well, whichever way he went, number one, you aren't going anywhere. I came here tonight specifically to see how you spent £100, and I can't see a thing at present.
Well, according to C.P.O. Pertwee, sir, that's what costs the money.
Pertwee?
Ah, there you are, Chief. I've been looking for you.
He is not C.P.O. Pertwee, isn't he?
Oh, hello, Mrs. Povey. Don't you look young in this light?
Mr. Phillips!
Lummy, the sun's come out.
Oh, Pertwee's special shade has fallen off the lights.
If the sole has melted round the lid, then it's come unstuck. And look at those cuttings.
Yes, that material must be Greek or something. They've got ragas written all over them.
Greek nothing, that sacking. Ragas is sugar spelt backwards.
Oh, good Greek. What's this Hessian all over the floor? Well, I've seen some threadbare carpets in my time, but even mine at home aren't as bad as... This is ridiculous. The place is a shambles.
Oh, be fair, sir. The roof's covers aren't too bad.
They shouldn't be. I recognize them. They came from the Admiral's office.
That does it. Well, Pertwee.
Oh, here you all are, then. Having a party?
Oh, Commander Bell, sir. Where have you been?
Don't ask me, old man. Aboard somewhere. I was supposed to be at a party in the wardroom, wherever that... This is the wardroom, isn't it? This ship's on three floors, you know. I had the same trouble the other day, actually. I was supposed to take some Scottish bird round the ship. You can't miss her. She's got, got here all right then, did you, madam?
Yes, sir.
More than I did. Yeah, it was the decor that fooled me, you see. Lovely room downstairs somewhere, yeah. All fitted carpets, new chair covers and curtains. Must have cost 70 or 80 quid. See you around again somewhere. I don't know where, but I'll probably be there if you care to look. Good, oh, don't bother. I know the time.
Right. Where's Pertwee?
I have a feeling I know where Commander Bell found the new carpet and curtains. The door to his lovely room downstairs was marked CPO's mess. Yes, well, I can explain, sir. It's quite simple, really. It will all be installed up here in the morning, sir.
Could we?
Please, sir, quiet, sir. The cabaret is just about to start.
Cabaret?
The star turns the Admiral, sir. He never did find the bar, but unfortunately he did find a corkscrew. He's had half a bottle of your lady wife's homemade Oonass tea, and he'll never stop him now. Off you go, Admiral. 1, 2, 4.
What do we do with a drunken sailor? What do we do with a drunken... Oh, do open your cake holes when the Admiral's singing. Join in once more from the top. 1, 3.
What do we do with a drunken sailor? What do we do with a drunken...
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips have been redecorating The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Second Officer McClutie was Heather Chesson, the Padre was Michael Bates, Uncle Ebenezer Pertwee was Tenniel Evans, and Commander Bell was played by Ronnie Barker. The show was produced for the BBC by Alistair Scott Johnston.